Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. Today we're doing something a little different. Instead of chasing the biggest headline, we went through what actually shipped in the last 24 hours and picked the launches where we can tell you the clearest story. Who it's for, what actually changes, what the evidence is, and what's still uncertain.
And the thread that connects almost everything today is agents. Cheaper models. Local runtimes, agents in your IDE, agents in your design tools, agents doing your research. And then, because it wouldn't be a proper day without it, a $500 toothbrush.
We'll get there. Let's start at the foundation, because everything else this episode stands on it. Anthropic shipped new models, Fable 5.1 and Mythos 5.1, aimed at advanced coding and research work.
Two things jump out. The first is price. These are around 25% cheaper, and for agent workloads specifically, up to 45% less, mostly thanks to cheaper cache reads. That's a big deal because agent runs are exactly the workload that reads the same context over and over. So if you're running long, repetitive agent sessions, the savings compound.
And the second thing is privacy. There's an EFS privacy option, so you can run agents on sensitive material with a stronger guarantee about how it's handled.
Now, the honest caveat, these are the maker's claims about quality and cost. The real-world gains, whether Fable and Mythos actually do meaningfully better on your coding tasks, that's what we don't know yet. We'd want to see benchmarks against real workloads before telling you it's a clear upgrade.
Right, and that's the frame we want to keep all episode. Treat what makers say as claims, not verified results. Speaking of which, the other pillar today is OpenClaw 2.0, which is a local, open-source AI agent.
What's new in this version? It auto-detects your ChatGPT or Claude keys, so setup gets easier. It has multiplayer shared sessions, so more than one person can work in the same agent session. Browser tools got refreshed, and there are memory upgrades.
So pair that with the cheaper Claude models, and you get something interesting. A private or low-cost agent stack. Local runtime, keys you already have, models that cost less per run. That combination lowers the barrier for everything else we're going to talk about.
It's worth flagging the unknown here, too. Open source is great, but how does OpenClaw sustain development? What's the model? That's genuinely unresolved. Sustaining open source agent infrastructure is hard, and a lot of projects have stalled on exactly that question.
Okay, so we've got cheaper models and a local runtime. Now, what do developers actually build with them? And the pattern here is a shift away from chat windows toward visual, tool-connected canvases.
Let's take them one at a time, because they're genuinely different products solving different problems. Mode Inspect is an AI canvas that sits on top of your real code base. It understands your components, your design tokens, your component states, your breakpoints, one-to-one. And the output isn't a suggestion in a chat. It's actual PRs that are type-safe and reviewable.
That last part matters. The difference versus a generic code assistant is that Mode Inspect is grounded in the actual design system as it exists in your repo. It's not inventing a component that doesn't exist. It's working with the ones you have. And reviewable, type-safe PRs mean it fits into an existing code review process rather than bypassing it.
Then Dupe, which is a different take on the same idea. Open source infinite canvas where agents running on MCP, Claude, Codex, co-design live with you. Shared memory between agents, and you bring your own AI subscription.
So Mode Inspect is grounded in production code. Dupe is a live collaborative design space. Both are saying the canvas is the interface, not the chat.
And the third piece closes the loop after you ship. Onset MCP lets Claude or Cursor draft, schedule, and publish your release notes all through MCP. And there's a free plan that's unlimited with up to 1,000 subscribers.
Which is a pretty generous free tier for something that automates a real chore. So, the full picture. Agents designing, agents coding into real PRs, agents communicating the release. The open question, and it's a real one, is whether teams actually adopt these canvases or whether they stay in the IDE and the terminal because that's where the context already lives. Canvas interfaces for code have been tried before. This generation is more tool-connected, but adoption is unproven.
And this connects straight to the next thing, because once agents help you build the product, the next question is, how well do you understand the humans using it? Three launches here, and they cover research, adoption, and selling.
Start with Articos. It runs user research through simulated personas aligned to your ideal customer profile, and it delivers a report in under 30 minutes.
And here's the strongest evidence they offer, and we should present it carefully. They've validated it at 86% agreement with human research, benchmarked against BAMARD and NNE standards. So that's the maker's own validation, not an independent audit. 86% agreement with human research is impressive if it holds up, and 30 minutes versus weeks of recruiting and interviews changes the economics of research entirely.
But that's also the limitation. Simulated personas are great for cheap, fast, directional insight. The unknown is how they hold up in high-stakes decisions. If you're deciding whether to kill a product line based on simulated users, you want to know exactly where that 86% fails.
Then once real users show up, UserLens has an agent called Lumi for product-led growth adoption. What makes it different is that it combines your data warehouse with product analytics, so it can send personalized messages and, importantly, with human approval before they go out. And it measures real behavior afterward, not just message opens.
The approval step is a nice signal that they understand the trust problem with automated messaging. And finally, on the selling side, RoundOS Data Room is a lifetime-free DocSend alternative. Per page and per viewer analytics, NDA support, watermarks, revocable links.
The obvious question with anything free for life is, how does it survive? Their answer is, they monetize through Operator, a separate product. So the data room is free, and they make money elsewhere. Whether that holds long-term is an open question. But for anyone sending decks and documents and wanting to know who read what, a genuinely free alternative to a paid category leader is worth knowing about.
So, agents build, agents help you understand users, agents help you sell. Now let's come back down to earth and talk about the small apps people actually touch every day, because this was a strong day for native desktop polish.
On the Mac side, three. Rhodey is a menu bar's audio switcher for macOS, currently 0.9.2, early access at $9.99, one time. What it does, it automatically prioritizes your microphone and headphones, so when you plug in or connect audio gear, it switches without you fiddling. And two details stand out. It's fully local, and it doesn't capture your audio. For a privacy-minded utility, that's the right design.
Then CleanShot 5.0. It's the well-known native Mac screenshot and recording app, and version 5.0 adds a new studio mode plus a video editor available on all plans. And they're explicit, no subscription. In a market where everything is moving to monthly pricing, that's a positional statement.
And Parasocial, a native Apple podcast player. Episodes appear as soon as they're published. You get tags and bookmarks, smart playlists, and sync that works without an account.
That accountless sync is a genuinely nice differentiator. Most sync requires a server and a login. Doing it without an account is real craft.
Over on Windows, Dynamic Edge brings the Dynamic Island to Windows 10 and 11, built natively in WinUI 3. It handles media, clipboard, timers, and it's dockable with multi-monitor support. So the iPhone's most copied UI idea finally lands on Windows in a native implementation.
The theme across all four is the same. Small native utilities are where polish battles are won. and the open question hanging over all of them is pricing. CleanShot and Rhodey are one-time purchases today. Can they stay one-time long-term, or does the subscription gravity eventually pull them in? That's the thing to watch.
And that connects to the next topic, because several of these apps are about voice and audio on your desktop, and the next launches are about what voices can do, and what fake ones can do.
Start with the defensive side. DeepEye detects deepfakes, image, video, and audio while you're browsing. It's free Chrome and WhatsApp extensions, and crucially, no uploads. It works in partnership with Scam.ai.
The no uploads part is important. A lot of detection tools require you to send the media to a server. If DeepEye really analyzes in navigation without uploads, that keeps your data local while you check whether that video or voice message is synthetic.
Why does this exist now? Because synthetic media is exploding, and the tools to check it haven't been where people actually encounter it, in the browser, in WhatsApp. Putting detection in the place where the fakes arrive is the right move.
The unknown, as with any detection tool, accuracy in the wild. Detection is an arms race, and a free browser extension is only as good as its real-world false positive and false negative rates. We don't have that data yet.
On the other side of voice, Loqua. It's a multimodal voice agent for Mac and Windows. 220 words per minute dictation, and a feature they call Capture to Ask, where you combine what's on your screen with your voice to ask things.
And the technical claim worth noting? They say it's built on an in-house Omni model, not a wrapper around someone else's API. That's a meaningful difference versus the wave of voice apps that are thin layers over frontier models. If true, it means they control the latency and the quality trade-offs. And it's a claim again. We're reporting what they say.
There's also Touchy in this space, an iOS voice assistant that works contextually. It coordinates your apps and acts discreetly. The limitation they're upfront about, they're currently hitting rate limits from the providers. So it's a sign of the moment. These assistants are constrained by the underlying API capacity, not just their own engineering.
So voice interfaces and deepfake detection are growing up together. And that makes sense. The better synthetic audio gets, the more you need verification. And the more natural voice interfaces get, the more you use them. Which brings us, gently, to the lighter end of today.
The toothbrush.
The toothbrush. Dyson Camera Jet. $499.99. It has a macro camera running at 28 frames per second that detects the gaps between your teeth, and it sprays targeted mouthwash into them.
So a camera in a toothbrush, watching your mouth in near real time and acting on what it sees. That is a striking example of sensors moving into completely mundane products.
And paired with it in spirit, Stitch AI from Dynamic Mockups, which is at the other end of the absurdity scale, but makes the same point. It's a free agent for embroidery digitizing. You give it a design, it produces a region-by-region stitch plan in 15 seconds, outputs an actual Tajima DST file. That's the industry format embroidery machines read, plus a mock-up preview.
That one is quietly significant. Embroidery digitizing is real skilled manual work, and an agent that produces a production-ready file format in 15 seconds is reaching into a manufacturing workflow, not just a screen workflow.
So the pattern across both. AI agents are showing up in physical goods and physical production, one domain at a time. The open question on CameraJet is the obvious one. Will consumers pay a $500 premium for smart toothbrushing? Sensors and cameras in everyday objects sound great in a launch post. Whether it survives contact with a bathroom countertop is another matter.
Stick AI being free, meanwhile, is easier to say yes to. Which brings us to close.
If today had one lesson, it's this. Specialized agents are everywhere now, arriving one domain at a time. Agents for code reviews, for release notes, for user research, for embroidery files, for your mouth. And underneath all of it, cheaper models and local runtimes are making each of these cheaper to run and easier to trust.
The claims are bold, the prices are often zero or one time, and the open questions, accuracy, adoption, sustainability, are the same ones we'll be watching next time. Thanks for listening. I'm Milo.
And I'm Mia. We'll see you in the next one.